Amos, we're excited to hear what you've got for us. All right.
Let's sing. Join me if you would, please. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. You're so good to me. God is so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's an honor to be here this morning to share. I want to thank Ron, Pastor Ron, and Pastor Donna for the privilege of being here and for trusting me to be here. I also want to thank you guys. The Bible says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It doesn't say, blessed are those that show up. Okay? And I believe you're here because you're hungry. And I appreciate that. I respect you for that. Okay? Because there's a lot of things that we could be doing this morning. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. There's a lot of things that we could be doing. I mean, we're all probably left over from sugar highs and too much turkey or ham. Or Ron and Donna, Ron called me this morning. He said, make sure you tell the people we miss them. And he said, it's very cold and very snowy there. He said, they're ready to be back home. And I told him, I said, you asked me to pray for you. And I said, just been praying this one prayer for you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's cold up there. So imagine how cold it is here. Imagine how cold it is up there. So, before I start, I just want to share with you that there's probably nothing. Now, let me rephrase that. There's nothing in this sermon this morning that I'm going to share with you that will change anything for you. Let me rephrase that. There's nothing that I'm going to share this morning that will change anything for you unless you change. When Ron asked me to share a couple weeks ago, I said, sure. And he says, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share? He dropped in my spirit, how big is your capacity? Last Tuesday, I got to prepare a sermon. I got something I got to share. And I know it's about capacity. What is it, Lord? And God dropped in my spirit. He says, I prepared you a sermon. Share that. See, I was born at a very young age. Okay? I was born again at a very young age. And I grew up in church all my life. Okay? My parents were Christians before I remember. My dad's only reading book in his home was the Bible. That's the only book we had. That's where I learned to read. King James, that's where I learned to read. So if I say thee and thou, God forgive me. Okay? If that's offensive to you, will you please forgive me? But that's where I grew up. Okay? Unfortunately, a lot of things that I learned are not accurate. Okay? So probably my favorite verse in the Bible is John 8:32, where Jesus said to those disciples that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. These were disciples that believed in him. But he said, if you continue in my word, they already believed. But he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And then he gave them a promise and said, and then you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. May I submit to you that anything that we do, anything that happens in our life that's opposite of any kind of freedom is a indication that something that we believe in our minds, something that we perceive about God, is not accurate? Can we establish that? Is that a fact? Okay. If there's something in my life that's going on that's not yielding freedom, then it means that something that I believe is not accurate. Because if John 8:33 is true, it says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. If that's the word of God, if that's true, then anything that doesn't correspond with that means that my mind is not thinking accurately about God. So we sing the song that we sang this morning, you move and I want more, you move and I want more. Okay, we sing that. I can't sing that. But we're like this. And God can only give me this much because that's all the bigger I am. And I say, I want more of you. I want more of you. Fill me up, Lord. Well, if this is my container, if this is me, you can't see this, but you can. That's me, right? Okay. Oh, I got a smiley face on there. Okay. Okay. See, if this is me, okay, if this is me, then that's all I can contain. And we want more of God, but this is our size, okay? Now, look, take a look at this. Which one can contain more? You would always say the yellow bucket, right? I'm pretty excited. Okay, the problem is, there's a lid on it. And so many of them are like this. I grew up in church all my life, but there's a lid on it. And I don't care what happens around me. There's a lid on my life, and it can't contain anymore. Okay? So, yeah, I'm a big container. I can quote scripture. I can say the Bible verses. I can jump with the best. I can shundai with the best. Okay? But if there's a lid on it, nothing's going to change. Okay? And then some of us are like this. We're all upside down. We're like concrete. Our minds are firmly mixed up and firmly set. And we can't receive anything from God because we're upside down. So yeah, we're bigger containers. And I'm going to share with you the words of Paul. He said, not that I've obtained. I'm not preaching as though I've apprehended because I haven't. I'm still moving that direction. And I'm not there yet. Nobody knows that better than I do. She knows next best. Okay? See, those that are closest to me know that more than anybody else. So for me to share, thank you, Mary. Because she knows where I'm at. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you being here. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So if God wants us to have abundance, which I believe he does, then why hasn't it happened yet? How many of you have received the word prophecy over your life at some point or another that says, this is what I have planned for you. This is where I want you to enter into. This is what I have called you to. Okay, Les gave a word a week ago. It says, Amos, God wants you to have abundance financially. Okay? A word over me. How many of you had a word like that? Something, you know, you're going to move in some kind of ministry or you're going to move into some kind of gifts of the Spirit or something like that. How many of you had things like that haven't happened yet? Okay, so why not? You know, why am I not rich? Why don't I have that financial abundance yet? See, and I think that's a fallacy that I see that as something that God's speaking to me. It's something that I believe that when a word of God came over my life growing up in church, and people would prophesy over me and I'd go like, oh, God wants me to do whatever, okay? God wants me to be rich. Let's use that for an example, okay? So that, I mean, I've heard that lots of times, not far along before Les ever said that. So why hasn't it happened yet? Well, if God wants it to happen, then we got under the right spot, you know? Where's that at where God's going to dump that on me? And see, I don't think that's God's way. God doesn't change, right? So if he does something in the Old Testament, it's the shadow of what's to come. Okay? Did you know there was a time in the Bible where God says, I won't hear you when you pray? Now, we all know that. But what about the time when God said, you can do all the right stuff. Do everything I commanded you to do, and I won't hear you when you pray. Did you know that was in there? I didn't know that was in there. Let's go to Jeremiah 29. We all know this verse, I believe. Jeremiah 29:11. Don't tell me I missed that page. Thank you. I'd rather get it out of here if I have it. But, okay. Okay. Thank you. Jeremiah 29:11. You all know this. Tell me if you've never heard this before. For I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. One translation says to give you a future and a hope. You ever heard that? Okay. We all know that scripture, don't we? Anybody here that's not heard that scripture? Anybody? You've all heard the scripture. Raise your hand if you heard the scripture so I know we're all together. Okay. We've all heard that. I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of peace, to give you a future and a hope. But it's probably one of the most misunderstood scriptures that we know of. Because you know where the children of Israel were at when that word was given? They were in captivity. Jeremiah said, those that prophesy to you and say God's going to bless you, he said, don't believe them. They're false prophets. He said, those that tell you that you're going to go back to Israel soon, he said, don't believe them. They're liars. That's what he told them. You know, and we go like, oh yeah, God has this prosperity for me. But what was God's plan? What was God's plan? Hmm? To change their hearts. Verse 12. Then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen. When is then? At an appointed time. Okay? So when is then in this scripture? Verse 5. Let's go back up to verse 5 so we can understand what's going on there. Okay? Jeremiah says to the children of Israel that were taken captive, he said, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and begat sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and daughters and daughters to husband, so that they may bear sons and daughters. I found it. Okay? And then the next line, I believe, reveals God's heart. That you may increase there and not diminish. That you may increase there and not diminish. And then seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray for the Lord for it, for it is peace. For in its peace you will have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets or your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to their dreams which they have caused you to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are complete in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. After 70 years of doing what's right, doing what I told you to do, learning to increase and not diminish, then you will call on the Lord and I will return you back to your land. I believe the word of God is what God's speaking to my heart, and I'm not saying anything against prayer. Please understand that, because we need to pray, okay, more now than ever, okay? I'm not saying anything about that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for the sick. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for God to intervene in our country, move our land, okay? But I'm saying, until I change, nothing will change for me. Nothing will change for me until I change. Okay? And that's what God's doing in our land right now. But yet, I'm 58 years old. What can I do? I'm almost over the hill. Last March, my brother, who's 10 years older than I am, hey, it's real, isn't it? Okay. I have a brother that's 10 years older than me. He turned 68 last March. And I was driving down the road and I went like, oh, today's my brother's birthday. And I went, wait a minute. He's almost 70. And I went, oh my. He's only 10 years older than I am. And for just a brief second, I felt old. But I washed it away. Because I've only got 58 years worth of experience so far. And I've only just begun. Okay? And we got to take that attitude, I believe. Yeah. How old was Caleb when he went up to Joshua and said, give me my mountain? You guys are Bible students. How old was he? Hmm? 80? Was he only 80? That how old he was? I was thinking he was older than that. Well, that'd be a good thing to look up.
There's no retirement in the Bible. It's retirement.
There you go. There you go. So a lot of times we face defeat. A lot of times we... I think a lot of times, you know, life happens to us and we get to a point where, see, one of the things I used to believe growing up in Christians, if it hadn't happened yet, must not have been God's will. And that's just wrong thinking. You know, may I bust that myth? Okay. Because that is wrong thinking. If it hasn't happened yet, that means I haven't changed enough to let it happen. Period. Okay? If it hasn't happened yet in my life, that means that I have not got to the place where it can happen in me. My container is not right for that yet. Otherwise, it would have happened. It had to. It's God's word. He said, if we ask, we receive. He said, if we seek, we find. He said, if we knock, it opens to us. Okay? It's God's word. His intent is for us to be abundant, to be blessed, to be whole, to be full, to have life. Okay? But there's something in my life that I act out that's opposite of what God's word says about me. And that's why it doesn't happen yet. So what happens to us? You know, there's all kinds of garbage that we go through because we live in a negative world. And we're bombarded with negative things and negative influences. You know, as kids, we're told we can't do it. You know, we get negative criticisms. You know, well-meaning people that influence us as children. You know, parents, teachers, peers, you know, all those things. And I'm not picking on any of us. I mean, it just happens. We live in a negative society. You know, Johnny comes home with an F in his report card, and we see the F, and we don't see any of the good grades. And then we try to correct him and say, Johnny, you're just so stupid. Why'd you get an F? Well, what's he going to do? Okay. Paul Harvey said that by the time a person reaches age 35, they've got 30 million memory jogging experiences that make an impression on their mind that they're dealing with. 30 million of them by the time we're 35 years old. And some of those affect us for years and years. Some of us die with that. You know, many men die at 25, and 65 we bury them. Okay? Because of all the negative influences that's happened to them and all the garbage that's went in and all the things that have happened to them. Okay? So you got negative criticisms, you got the parent that says, after all I've done for you and you act this way, well, how does that affect a child? How did that affect us? Okay? I mean, your dad loves you. He goes up, goes to work every day, and then you act this way. Yeah. And we have that affects us negatively. And then you have the perfection syndrome that we feel like if we don't do it perfectly, there's no hope. No hope for you. You didn't do it perfect. Okay? You're going to grow up, be just like your uncle. You're going to end up in jail. Okay? Because you didn't get it good enough. Okay? So all the things that happen to us negatively. And those things can be broken if we let them be broken. But I don't believe there's any amount of praying, any amount of church going, any amount of giving and offerings that will change that unless we change. Okay? And so whatever that lacking is, whatever that is that lacks us, whatever that ceiling is, whatever that lid on our bucket is, whatever that is, unless we change that, nothing will change for us. And that's why I said earlier, there's nothing in discernment that will change anything for you unless we change. So, how do we change? When we went to the Word Faith Church, we believed that we could change by saying the right things. Just speak the positive words. I mean, it was almost like you can't say things like sick or poor. Or, you know, you can zip your lips, you can't say those words, okay? So, and that doesn't work very well. Because we're not being real. Okay? But yet we know the Bible says you'll have whatever you say. So where does that come from? So how effective is it to just change our words?
Speak His word.
Speak His word. We speak His words, but I mean, you're saying it. I mean, has it happened yet? How well has that changed? How well has that worked for us? Anybody here says that really worked for me? I've not experienced it work for me. Now, am I saying it's wrong to speak the positive word and speak God's word? No. But why hasn't that worked for us?
Hasn't become a reality.
Hasn't become a reality, okay? See, we can't say anything that will change how we believe if we say opposite of what we believe. Okay? So where does it all start? Let's go back to the beginning. It all starts with how we think. Okay? And that's the only place that we can really control our lives. Solomon said, above all else, above everything else, guard your heart. Because of it are the issues of life. Guard how you think. Yeah, we're bombarded with negative thoughts. We're bombarded with negative influences. We're bombarded with you're over the hill. We're bombarded with I'm close to retirement. We're bombarded with, well, you're about ready to slow down. We're bombarded with all that stuff. We're bombarded by people who say, well, you can't do that. I know somebody else that tried that and it didn't work for them. Who do you think you are? Okay. But we can choose our thoughts by choosing what we think about in the things that we read, the things that we listen to, and the people we associate with. Thank you for being here. I respect that in you because I enjoy associating with you because it's kind of a niche. It's a kind of a close haven where we can build each other up and encourage and lift each other up. I had a good one I'm in here. I want to find it and read it to you. It was really good. The voices you listen to are the voices that you will eventually believe. The things that you talk about will increase. The things that you think about are the things that you will become. See, our mind knows no limitations. It believes whatever we put into it, and it'll go to work on making that happen. What's the kingdom of God? The Bible said the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. Okay? So we have the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Okay? You can see a pyramid. Okay? A pin, one of those things called underneath a teeter-totter where a teeter-totter sets on?
Fulcrum.
Okay? That is the kingdom of God. Joy, peace, and righteousness inside that. Okay? And then on top of that, you have the board that goes across the seesaw. Okay? On the right side, we have all the negative emotions, or all the positive emotions. On the left side, we have the negative emotions. Love, hate, joy, fear. Okay? Prosperity, poverty. All those things are there. And we gravitate towards the one that we think about the most. So, we're on top of that teeter-totter there, and the one that we think about the most is the side that we gravitate towards. And when we get to the point that we can think about what God does, all the positive qualities, okay, and understand that the words that Ron, that we wrote on the board last Sunday, all that stuff has already happened. We don't have to pray for God to do that anymore. It happened when Jesus died on the cross. Done. Okay? May not be fulfilled in my life yet, but it's done in the kingdom of God. Because all that's in the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So when my mind is not peace, it means that I'm not dwelling in the kingdom of God. Okay, I'm missing something. Okay, so as I lean towards those positive things and have those positive things influence, then the end of that seesaw with all the negative stuff falls off. It's like light and darkness. The more you focus on light, the more darkness goes away. See, because there is no darkness other than the absence of light. Okay? So we focus on the things that we want. And many of us go around, we try to focus on what we don't want to have happen. And what we do is we're actually attracting it to ourselves because we're not thinking about being hid in the Word of God. Okay? So if I were to one of the things that I think that happens to us a lot of times that stop us is that we don't have a definite purpose. We miss that. You know, Pastor Ron talked about it. Is there not a cause? Okay. Yeah, you know, and without that definite purpose, we just become wandering generalities. You know, Caleb could have just as well retired as he could have went and got after his mountain. Okay. You know, Abraham could have not had Isaac. I mean, he was way too old to have kids. You know, he could have just stopped. Okay? But he had that definite purpose. So I think to change, I think one of the things we need to do is find out where we're at, identify where we are. A lot of us don't like to do that. Friday, we had the family over. And my 10-year-old grandson said, "Dad, Grandpa, let's go out and play football." I said, "You know what, Mike?" I said, "I don't remember ever seeing a football when I was your age. I don't know that I ever seen a football at that age." I said, "As a result, I never really learned to play football, but I'll go try to catch one with you." Well, he'd throw them. I mean, he's good at throwing them. But they somehow just went right through my hands. And pretty soon his dad was out there and they were throwing football back and forth, and the ball I had was deflated. So it wasn't really a nice full football. And my grandson took that thing and threw it at his dad, and his dad went like that and hit it with his head. And I'm like, okay, I would never do that. And it wasn't long until my eldest Sophia, I don't know, she was out there, and I said, "Let's go look at the fish in the lake." And I walked away, and then we started tossing a teddy bear back and forth. And see, guys, I'll never learn to play football if I let that kind of stuff happen to me. I'm 58 years old, and I miss footballs when I try to catch them. So what's the point? I haven't changed enough to catch football. And I don't know if I wanted enough to go after it. Okay? And that's where we come to a lot of times. And I think that's kind of lids that we put on our life. And we don't know it because we can't think about what we think to get to find out what we're thinking. You can't think about what you think to learn what you're thinking. The way we learn what we're thinking is by looking at the results that we have. Okay? And I'll give you an example. You can tell what I think about. Okay? I don't think right about eating or I wouldn't be this way. Okay? But when I think about it, I go, like, no, I think right about eating. But the truth of the matter is I don't. If I did, I wouldn't be here. This gut wouldn't be there if I wouldn't be thinking wrong. Okay? In Jeremiah, God says, go in, learn to increase. Because it's going to be 70 years of learning to increase. And I believe the word of God for us today is learn to increase. Yeah, pray. Yeah, seek God's face. Yeah, do all the right stuff. But learn to increase. Learn to increase. Change. Change. Don't pray, God, fill my container if you're not willing to be a bigger container, not willing to take the lid off, if you're all upside down, thermally mixed up. Don't ask God to fill it. He's not going to do it. See, God can't do what he told us to do. He won't. He could, but he won't. God won't do what he told us to do. And we can't do what he told, what only he can do. So we work as though it all depends on us, and we pray like it all depends on God. Well, guys, that kind of sums up what I have for you today. But I guess, yeah, let me share this. To change, I think we need first identify where we're at, then we need to identify where we want to be, and define that, and make that a purpose, and then move towards that direction. And everything you do, make it move towards that direction. Okay? That becomes your drive. That's what we can do. Fine. I can learn to play football. Okay, I'm only 58 years old. Okay? But I don't know if I want it bad enough. Okay? It might just be easier to not play football. But it's not because I can't. But it doesn't matter how many times I come to the altar and ask God to help me play football unless I'm willing to go out and catch it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Doesn't matter how often I show up at church or how many offerings I give. That's not going to change it. Okay? Unless I'm willing to change, nothing will happen. And then once we do that, then we have to be willing to go through the failures, because failing we will. And we don't like it. We hate failures. I hate failures, don't you? Yeah. I hate to fail. Okay? But nothing good will happen to us unless we're willing to face the failures. And unless we're willing to say, there's nothing that can happen to me that will stop me, whether good or bad, I'm going to go that direction. Until we get to the point that we go that direction, it won't change. Because failing, we must. Most of you guys have heard about Amway. Okay? Amway. Okay? Most of you guys have heard of Dexter Yeager. Dexter Yeager said a line that I love. He said, the reason I'm more successful than you is because I failed more often than you did. But see, we don't like failure. And many times we're not willing to go through it. When we go through it, we don't want anybody to know about it. But when we recognize that failure is a lesson, it's there as a teacher. It's there to say, you have more potential than that. God says we have all things in abundance. Jesus said in John 10, he said, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. That's what God wants for us. So when we don't have that, that's a teacher who says, yeah, you have more potential than that. You can do better than that. Don't look at that as failure. Look at that as, okay, what can I learn from it? How can I improve from it? How can I do it again? Who's the guy to climb the mountain? Mount Everest? Hillary. Edmund Hillary. Thank you. You know the story of Edmund Hillary? He climbed a mountain, he went up and got wiped out with an avalanche, killed a couple guys, and he came back down and it's like, oh man. And he tried it again, the second time, same thing, big avalanche, slid, big old snow slide, killed a bunch of guys. He came down the second time down the foot of the mountain. He stood at the foot of the mountain, he looked up at the top of the mountain. He said, you defeated me once. He said, you defeated me twice. But he said, I will defeat you. Because I can get bigger, but you can't. And that's how we got to look at failures. See, we can get bigger, but when we think they're there because we can't do it, it stops us in our tracks. Don't let it stop you. Because once you overcome that, and the lesson that you, thank you, the lesson that you learn from that puts you at a higher level. Yeah, because that becomes your floor. The victories that you gain, the successes you learn, the things that you go through, the things that you learn from that failure puts you at a higher level where you can reach up higher. But when we think that defeat is there because we didn't do something, I should probably put another $15 in the offering last week. That's why God's punishing me. It won't work. That's upside down thinking. Okay? Maybe I should have smiled at that person, or maybe I should have done this or done that. That won't work. That won't work. It will work when we learn from the failures and improve. Improve and improve. How did Edison fail before he made the incandescent light bulb? 900, I heard. I read somewhere just recently, 1,200 times. You know, and somebody said something to him. He says, "You failed 1,200 times, aren't you discouraged?" He said, "No." He said, "I didn't fail. I found 1,200 ways that don't work." You know, how many times have we failed and we give up? 4, 5, 6? And we think, "Oh, man." Okay? So define where you're at. Decide where you want to be. Define a definite purpose to get there. Understand why you want to do it. Why do you want to do what you're doing? What's the motivating factor? The only reason I play football is so I can play football with my son, grandsons. Okay? There's no other reason. I'd love to play catch with them, though. It'd be kind of cool. Okay. But it was so easy for me just to walk away, and I didn't even know it was happening. And we do that so much in life. We didn't even notice it's happening. I didn't think about it until Saturday morning. I got up and went, I didn't know what was happening. I didn't see it coming. But I went like, I'll never play football if I keep on doing that. If I keep thinking that way, I'll never do it. Then once you've done that, then work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on God. Learn from it and never quit. The Bible says, if we don't give up, we will reap. Okay? Got to have the faith that's going to happen. James 1 said, if you, whatever things you desire, he said, you need wisdom, go after it. Get it. Even if we fail again and again, as we must until personal weaknesses are overcome, the strength and character gain will be our new level of success and become our new starting point for future victories. That's why James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into trials, tests, and tribulations, because you know those things have brought perfection in you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he reap. So let me share a couple poems with you. When things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, and the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When cares are pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as each one of us sometimes learn, and many a failure turned about, when they might have won had they stuck it out. Don't give up. Though the pace seems low, you may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the straggler has given up when he might have won had he captured. He might have won and wanted to capture the victory's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped away how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out. It's a silver tint on the cloud of doubt. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that we must not hit, that we must not quit. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one that has to decide whether you do it or you toss it aside. You're the one who makes up your mind whether you lead or you linger behind. Whether you try for the goal that's afar or just be content to stay where you are. Take it or leave it. Here's something to do. Just think it over. It's all up to you. As we embark on the new year, I'd like to share this with you because it's more than just a year. It's every day. It's yours, this new day. With our hearts and hand and mind, we hold the power to mold every golden moment, every shining star into new design, into infinite possibilities. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Anybody have anything? I think we're done. So go with God. Make it a good year. Make it a good year. Do it one day at a time. Okay? New Year's resolutions. Make it one day. Resolutions. Be willing to fail. And move forward. God bless you.